Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you being here. It is Friday. We are one day away from the Packers' final preseason game against the Ravens. Saturday at noon should be a ton of fun. And then Tuesday, we have cut down day, and then I'm sure there will be some roster movement through the course of the week. We've got a weekend off and some college football before Packers, Eagles, Friday night football. Should be a really, really fun next few weeks as we get started to get really ramped up for Packers, Eagles, and just the Packers regular season in general. Today, of course, our primary objective is going to be going over everything. Maybe not everything, but as much of everything as I could possibly find and get to and cover from Packers Ravens. For those of you who don't know, and I had to explain this to some Ravens fans very slowly, there are two different sides of practice that are going on. One side is Packers offense versus Ravens defense. And the other side is Ravens offense versus Packers defense. And if you would even remotely try to watch both, you're just completely screwed. It is extremely hard just to watch one of them because of all the stuff that's going on and because you have a lot of Ravens players that are blocking your view on both sides. So you basically have to pick and choose. Are you going to watch the Packers offense or are you going to watch the Packers defense? For me, I chose the Packers offense. Paul Breddle watched the Packers defense. There were some others watching the Packers defense as well, including Matt Schneidman and Wes Hodkiewicz. I'm going to be using a lot of Wes's and Matt's and Paul's tweets and information in today's show when it's on the defensive side of the ball. I will be covering everything that I saw on the offensive side of the ball. And then at the end, you had 6 2-minute drills. That was the only thing going on at the time. And that included some Packers offense versus Ravens defense and some Ravens offense versus Packers defense so that we got to see everything. And like I said, I will break it all down for you as best as I possibly can. Before I get there, Packers did have one transaction on Thursday. They signed defensive tackle Keontae Shad. Apparently he is from Madison, not playing for the Badgers. He played for Oregon State, but apparently he is a Wisconsin native. So very cool story there. As far as injury updates go, did not see any changes in injury status. This is, again, one of those practices where there's a billion things going on, so it is really difficult to sort of track everything. But I did not see any new players that were injured, which is a good sign. It could have been possible that there was one somewhere and I just missed it, but I didn't see any. And I also did not see anyone return from injury. It looked like AJ Dillon, Marshawn Lloyd, Spencer Wagey, Andre Dillard, and Tyler Davis were all still out of practice. But I believe, as best as I could tell, those were the only five that were missing from practice due to any injury-related issues. Per Matt LaFleur, it sounds like they are still trying to figure out the exact extent of the Dillon injury and no update at this time. All right, so what I'm going to do, if you missed my key takeaways from Ravens practice, that was more of a quick snapshot of the things that happened. I'm going to try to, again, go through as much as I possibly can. Some of this today is going to take a little bit more reading for me because I didn't exactly memorize everything that happened at Packers practice. Forgive me, but I do want to get you as much information as I possibly can. And I'll start with sort of one of the few bad things on the day, and that was it was a very slow start for the Packers offense. So I would say the first couple team periods were definitely Ravens defense was ahead. And I'll also add on top of that, I thought there were some good plays by the Packers and just some really great defensive plays by the Ravens. They got their hands on a ton of balls, meaning they picked one off, which we'll talk about, but there was also probably four or five deflections from the Ravens defense. They were flying around and really tipping a lot of stuff and having some pass breakups. So kudos to them. I thought they had a really great start to practice. Spoiler alert, after those first couple sessions on the offensive side of the ball for Green Bay, that went a little bit slow, pretty much the rest of the day was dominated by the Packers, but I'll let you judge for yourself after kind of going through everything today. So here was the start for Green Bay's offense. You had a Josh Jacobs run that went basically nowhere. You then had a diving pass breakup by a Ravens defender. It was a linebacker, I believe. I couldn't tell exactly who it was, but it looked like a diving pass breakup by a Ravens linebacker. Right-hand side, Love threw in the flat, and he just made a great play to dive. I don't think he really had a chance at a pick, but definitely a great diving pass breakup. Then you had an Emmanuel Wilson that was a run for about 4 yards. You had a screen to Grant Dubose that went for maybe 2 to 3 yards. Then you had a disjointed run by Ellis Merriweather. Nothing Merriweather could have done. It didn't look like the timing of like the motion and everything was right. And then it got kind of blown up in the backfield and there was nothing Merriweather could have done. He went nowhere. Clifford then had a massively underthrown ball to Bo Melton. I don't exactly know what happened or what he was trying to do. I don't know if he was trying to throw it so a little bit that maybe he could come back to it a little bit, but I can't imagine he was trying to throw it that short. Melton actually did a great job of adjusting to it. Melton was so open, and then the defenders were trying to catch up to him that the defenders actually rushed past the ball. Melton came back to it. He had to make a diving attempt. It's one of those where, like, I'm certainly not going to count this as a drop for Bo Melton because it was such a horribly underthrown pass, and he had to make this crazy adjustment and a diving attempt. But he kind of had a real chance to get it. Again, not counting it against him, but he did make the diving attempt, had his arms there, but just could not come up with the catch. Then you had, and this is one I want to talk about in a little bit greater detail, because again, Ravens fans, I had to explain this to a little bit slowly on Twitter. There was, and actually I think it was one Packer fan too, if I'm being an equal opportunity hater here. There's a deep ball to Romeo Doubs. It's a post play, and it's definitely designed as a shot play to Romeo Doubs. Now, if there's double coverage, if it's not there, it doesn't mean you can necessarily throw it. But Romeo did have double coverage on the play, but he had beaten both guys. Not by a ton, but he had probably a quarter step, on the safety, which was Eddie Jackson, and then probably a half step on the corner. So he's quote unquote open down the field. It's probably not a high percentage throw per se, because it's just the degree of difficulty, 40, 45 yards down the field, plus two defenders that are trailing him in coverage. Not certainly an easy play, but definitely not a bad decision by any means, because Doubs has has them beat. And so Love loads up, throws a deep ball down the field. Doubs puts his arms out. The ball is literally coming right to Romeo Doubs' hands. You could not have thrown it any better. Like, maybe you could argue if he throws it a tick further and Doubs has to extend his arms, then we'll talk about what happened in a minute. Maybe it ends up in the result being better, but like literally to like, he threw it. If you were handing it off to Romeo Doubs, you couldn't have handed it off any better. It was right into his hands. It was right about to be caught. And at the very last second, Eddie Jackson, knowing that basically they're beat on the play, makes a diving attempt, gets a fingertip on the ball and deflects it away, and it falls incomplete. And this is one of those plays where I tweeted out, I said, this was an absolute beautiful pass by Jordan Love into Romeo Doubs, two Ravens on him. And the Ravens player, in this case, Eddie Jackson, made a diving pass breakup for an incomplete pass. This is football. This is beautiful football almost in all phases. First of all, I thought Romeo Doubs did a great job of getting open, at least to the extent that he could, against two defenders, to have a half a step and a quarter step respectively on the two defenders that he was going against. I thought Jordan Love made a great decision, seeing that he had an opportunity at a shot play down the field, and that's where it was basically designed to go. At least that's what it looked like. And he puts a ball that's completely right on the hands of Romeo Doubs in stride. It's going to be a huge play. And then tip your cap to Eddie Jackson, who makes a ridiculous diving play to barely tip away the ball and break it up. Like, it ends up as a long incompletion for Green Bay. It ends up in a better play for the Ravens, no question about it. But if you're grading everything on the play, I liked what Doubs did. I liked that he beat the coverage. I liked the decision. I liked the throw. And it was just a better pass breakup. And you tip your cap to the defense sometimes. I think sometimes we get so ingrained in the fact that this is a zero-sum game. It's either everyone's a winner or everyone's a loser. It's not always that way. Like, sometimes you guys make a good play, they make a good play, and some team has to come out on top. And I thought Green Bay ran a very nice play, got their guy open, hit him right in stride, but the Ravens defender caught it. Eddie Jackson's a veteran. He recognized it, made a leaping play or a diving attempt at it, knocked it away, and it's incomplete. Great play by the Ravens defender, but a beautiful ball by Jordan Love. Love the play, love the decision. Just tip your cap to the defense. And guess what? That's okay. Sometimes the other team is going to do some good stuff too, and give them credit where credit's due. This is one where you give credit to Eddie Jackson for making that play, but I really liked everything Green Bay did on the play, including give Jordan Love time to deliver that ball down the field. All right, love to then Jaden Reed for a solid pickup. Love to Kraft for a solid gain. Couple plays get going there. Then Jacobs and Wilson go back-to-back runs that went absolutely nowhere. Finally, Emmanuel Wilson gets a run that's going somewhere, gets about 10 yards on a run to the left side. Then you had probably your best play of this opening period, where it is Michael Pratt who's rolling to his right, and it is a absolute laser to Grant DuBose along the sidelines. Really fun play. Puts it on him. DuBose went up, gets it, gets both feet down, and just an absolute dart of a throw from Michael Pratt. The first really good throw of the day for the Packers offense. So really nice play there. You then had a crosser to Tucker Kraft for a nice game. You had the really bad play on the day is Love has Jaden Reed over the middle of the field, and Reed's open in the middle, but underneath it is Roquan Smith, and Love needs to get that over. And if he gets it over Roquan and into Jaden Reed, like, it might be a touchdown. It's going to be a huge play one way or the other, but he's got to get it over Roquan, and he gets it up a little bit where Roquan has to go up, but not enough. And Roquan skies up, makes a leaping jump, makes a leaping interception, and picks off the play. So really, really nice play from Roquan, but that's one that Jordan's got to get over the top a little bit more. And had he, it would have been a big play to Jaden Reed down the field. So that was the pick to Roquan. Then Love throws right after this. And this is what I love about Jordan. He comes back and fires an absolute seed to Romeo Doubs on a deep post for what would have also been an enormous gain, if not a touchdown, but it bounces right off of Romeo Doubs' hands. And it was, I love the fact that Jordan, completely unafraid, threw a pick the last play, comes back, not afraid to go over the middle, throws a dart to Romeo Doubs. Just unfortunate that Romeo didn't pay that one off. So it was kind of this start to the day for the offense, where you get a couple good plays here or there, maybe an Emmanuel Wilson 10-yard run, maybe a Michael Pratt 25-yard play to DuBose, but a lot of inconsistencies in the middle. He then had a check down to Emmanuel Wilson that went for nothing. Love to Doubs down the right side for about 12 yards. Then two more pass breakups by the Ravens defense, who again was flying around, one on Love, one on Pratt. Then you had a completion to Malik Heath for about 6 yards, and a Ellis Merriweather check down that went absolutely nowhere as well. What is up, everybody? We are back with another exciting week of Prize Picks action. And if you have not started playing Prize Picks yet, what are you waiting for? You need to sign up right now, and you will quickly realize why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Now that Team USA has brought home the gold, WNBA basketball is ready to heat back up, and it's already been a huge weekend from Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And right now, you could turn $10 into $1,000 while watching the stars tear it up in the WNBA. And did you know that you can set your lineup in as little as 60 seconds? Just pick more or pick less on a player's stat projections, and you are locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and of course, Wisconsin. This week, I'm going with Kelsey Plum and Arike Ngumbawale in what should be a massively fun week of basketball on Prize Picks. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course, they were gone. Goodbye, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only, in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. So this opening portion, these first two-ish periods for the Packers offense, not a lot of consistency, not a lot of sustained success, a big interception from Roquan Smith, some huge missed opportunities, right? The play that just missed to Romeo Doubs down the field that Eddie Jackson batted away, the play to Jaden Reed where he could have got it over the top for a big play, but it ends up in an interception, and then the play to Romeo Doubs deep down the middle that goes right off of Romeo Doubs' hands. The plays are there, and I guarantee you that that's going to be something that Matt emphasizes, that, hey, when we draw up plays that are there, that are in super advantageous looks, and we get opportunities at them, we have to convert them. And Green Bay did not convert on some of those big plays. Ravens came up with a big play with the interception. And Green Bay's run offense really struggled to get going in any real way during that team period. Then you had the offense heat up specifically in the red zone period, but a couple of these plays are prior to the red zone. It started off with all people, Sean Clifford hits a 45-yarder down to Malik Heath. When I watched it live, I thought Heath maybe had beaten Nate Wiggins clean on the play, but somebody posted the video, and I saw the video after, and it does look like they're in maybe a little bit of a cover two, and there's that gap between the corner and the safety. Now, either Wiggins didn't do, you know, get enough depth, or the safety didn't get over enough. I'm not sure. It looked maybe like that would be a little bit more on the safety, but without knowing the play call, tough to say for sure. Either way, Clifford does a fantastic job of identifying it. And like I said, it's a 45-yarder in stride, perfect throw to Malik Heath. It was without question, I think, Sean Clifford's, I know I mentioned the Bo Melton underthrow earlier, but I think without question, Sean Clifford's best day of practice. You then had Jordan Love to Tucker Kraft, and this is where the start of red zone takes place. In the red zone was probably a pickup. It started at like the 20. He probably picked up 15 yards on the play and actually had a little bit of run after the catch. Now, they blow him dead right away in a real game. I think he would have fought, and he might have got down to like the 1 yard line or maybe even had a chance to get in, but that was a nice pickup to Tucker Kraft. Then you had Romeo Doubs on a out route that Love hits him on that went from, again, probably like the 18 down to the 4. Then you had a Josh Jacobs run that went nowhere. And then you just had this string of beautiful plays, starting with Michael Pratt to Ellis Merriweather in the flat. And what I love about this play, Pratt to Merriweather in the flat, is that when Merriweather goes in the flat, there's a blitz coming off. So these are those situations sometimes that you get in where the running back is going to go to pick up the blitzer, but sometimes he won't. He'll go in the flat instead. And you play this little cat and mouse game where, all right, the line or the defender is going to blitz, but he's also responsible for the running back. And then as you like, the offense has a choice of like, all right, do I want to pick up the blitz or do I want to escape into the flat? And if you can get him into the flat, now he's free. In this case, blitz comes, Merriweather goes into the flat, defender doesn't go with him, and he ends up being open. But the defender's coming clean. Pratt has to recognize this super fast in real time to be able to kind of dip around, maybe change the arm angle, get it out to Merriweather in the flat on time. And then before the rest of the defense gets sort of adjusts and course corrects, he gets it out to Merriweather, does it clean, does it perfect, gets it out fast. Merriweather gets upfield and outraces the defender into the end zone for a touchdown. Beautiful play there, and just recognizing the play for Michael Pratt. Then you had Love to Tucker Kraft on a tight end screen that was set up beautifully. Look at this screen game getting going a little bit. Tucker Kraft, again, it's set up perfectly. Easy run after the catch, probably 10, 11 yards after the catch into the end zone. Well blocked by the offensive lineman up front. And again, for a touchdown in red zone there. You then had a Josh Jacobs run that once again went nowhere. Then you had, so this route, I've talked about this a little bit, but you've got this little route that Romeo Doubs runs right at the front pylon. And I can't explain it because I haven't always seen it run like through it to completion, but I see the end of it as the play is developing and Love throws it with unbelievable anticipation. Love cuts off his route at the very last moment and ends up wide open right by the pylon and then catches it clean and it's a touchdown. And it has just been a play that's been nearly unstoppable, save for Tuesday when Jair Alexander, after, to be fair, probably seeing it for a few times, recognized it, jumped it, and made a great pass breakup on the play. Unfortunately for the Ravens, they don't have Jair Alexander, and they don't know this play, and Romeo Doubs once again ran it to perfection. Love hit him with anticipation. Actually, he didn't even need to hit him with anticipation. He was just wide open. The route was perfect, and Romeo Doubs end zone touchdown right at that front pylon again. So that was a beautiful play. Then he comes back on the other side of the field, sees Christian Watson one-on-one with Kyle Hamilton, throws him a fade ball, jump ball, 50-50. Watson goes up, skies, gets it, gets his 2 feet in, touchdown on the right side. You then have Romeo Doubs without all the crazy, you know, moves in the last second cutback. He just runs a straight out route right by the pylon. Another touchdown for Romeo Doubs. You then had Michael Pratt come in. Jaden Reed runs this gorgeous route. He hits him in the red zone, touchdown, or in the end zone for a touchdown. Then you had Michael Pratt come back, fire to Ben Sims for a touchdown. So it was just touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And the Packers' red zone offense was on absolute fire. It was so fun to watch. And like, usually these are very competitive and, you know, the defense is going to win some and probably the majority because it's tough to get in the end zone. And the Packers offense just said, heck no, we are getting in time after time after time. And they really had a great red zone period. On the opposite side, per Paul Bredel, the Ravens offense had 15 opportunities and only converted two of them into touchdowns, which is a great result for the Packers defense. Now, apparently, Keyshawn Nixon was flagged for a pass interference on one of the other plays, so that certainly would have set the Ravens up with an automatic first down. I'm assuming it was probably in the end zone. I don't know for sure, but that would obviously have been first and goal from the one, if so. The touchdowns were to Kohler and then Zay Flowers per Matt Schneidman. It sounds like there was a ton of defensive pressure, especially by Kenny Clark per Matt Schneidman. You had a pass interference. The one that we talked about with Keyshawn Nixon was on Tez Walker. Lamar Jackson was allegedly running for his life, not designed, just because of all the Packers' defensive pressure up front. You had Devontae Wyatt with a tackle for loss on Justice Hill per Wes Hodkiewicz and a Preston Smith coverage sack per Wes Hod as well. So defensive front getting after it in the red zone period, which again allowed the Ravens to only score twice on their 15 opportunities in the red zone. As far as the rest of practice for the offense, you had another potential interception to Roquan Smith. This one was not one where he needed to get over the top. However, it was throwing over the middle of the field again, as you can imagine, because that's where Roquan Smith lives. But this one was one of those, you guys know this play very well, right? They do the quick play action fake and, you know, then pop up and immediately throw the slant. And usually it's wide open. Well, this one, Roquan saw coming. He jumped it. Should have been another pick. It wasn't. Thankfully, Roquan dropped it, but I guess thankfully doesn't really matter, right? If you're Green Bay and you're grading that play and you're evaluating it, you don't care if Roquan dropped it or not. This is not a game. In a game, you'd be like, "Whew, thank goodness he dropped it." In a practice, you're still marking that down as a bad play by Jordan Love, and that's one that, again, he's going to have to just kind of cut down on some of those interception opportunities in the middle of the field. The first one. You know, maybe just, again, needs to get up and down a little bit more. This one, he just never sees the linebacker. You always have to throw with vision in front of you. I know that's a design play, and it's a play that they do really well with, but you still have to throw it with understanding if there's a player in that window, and if there is, you can't make the throw. So that's one that I'm sure he would like to have back. You then had Love get the defense to jump and get a free play on offense. He'd throw deep down the field, or not deep, but probably intermediate down the right sideline to Romeo Doubs, but it was incomplete. You had Love incomplete on a corner route to Christian Watson, then a big play to Tucker Kraft over the middle of the field. If you've been noticing, Tucker Kraft's been coming up a lot here. This was a great job, wide open middle of the field. Offense was starting to maybe sputter a little bit to start that period, and then that kind of got them going a little bit more. Then you had Love to Romeo Doubs complete on a slant. You had Love with a very tight throw completion to Jaden Reed down the field. Now in a game, safety maybe makes a little bit of a bigger hit on Jaden Reed there. Even still, there was a collision. Reed hangs on, bounces off the defender, and he ran forward. I don't know if he would have actually gotten, into the end zone on the play or not, but it was a really tight throw. Nice catch by Jaden Reed. Love navigates the pocket, and this was probably the first time and only time he was pressured the entire day, and it was light pressure. He recognizes a lane that opens up. He gets up that lane and probably picks up 10-ish yards and a first down on a scramble. Then you had Nate Wiggins all over a screen to Samori Toure, Sean Clifford with another big throw to Malik Heath over the middle of the field, and then a drop by Emmanuel Wilson on a checkdown. Those are important plays for Emmanuel Wilson because pass pro and pass catching are the two things that he really needs to show, because again, he's shown he can be a good runner. It's the other two things that are going to be very important as he tries to make this roster. All right, some of the other defensive notes for the day from some of the other beat writers. Again, this is primarily Matt Schneidman, Wes Hodkiewicz, and Paul Bredel. Tyron Hopper got some run with the ones. Eric Stokes broke up a deep ball from Lamar Jackson to Rashad Bateman. Xavier McKinney was in on several big plays. There was a tackle at the line of scrimmage, a tackle in the flat, and a pass breakup over the middle. Multiple beat writers were chatting up Xavier McKinney in a pretty big way. Both Javon Bullard and Evan Williams got work with the starters at safety with the ones. Lamar Jackson found Zay Flowers up the right sideline with Keyshawn Nixon in coverage. And Igbari was credited with a pressure. Bretton Cox got a sack with the twos. TJ Slayton was fantastic per Wes Hod. Collapsed the pocket, allowing Rashawn Gary to come around the edge for a potential sack. I'm assuming this is the same one, but Matt Schneidman had Rashawn Gary with a coverage sack on Lamar Jackson. Then he had Jackson with completion to Wallace with Stokes in coverage. Jackson complete to Miller with Ballantyne in good coverage, just a better throw. Kalen King and Eric Wilson, good coverage on deep downfield passes. Then Lamar deep to Malik Cunningham, former quarterback for the Patriots, who went to the Ravens, who's now receiver. Anyway, long story short, deep completion down to Cunningham with McDuffie in coverage. Obviously a mismatch for Green Bay. You don't want a linebacker covering a wide receiver, even if he was a former quarterback. And that ended up in a touchdown and a beautiful play from Lamar Jackson. And then Anthony Johnson Jr. ended up a period with both a pass defended and a tackle for loss in the run game. So those were some of the more important defensive notes for the day. All right, let's sort of work towards wrapping things up here from a play-by-play standpoint with the two-minute drills. It started with the Packers ones on offense. Here was the situation for all of the two-minute drills. I'm going to tell you this once. Write it down if you need it. Down by three, a minute 30 left, ball on your own 30-yard line, one timeout, first and 10. So down three, minute 30, on your own 30, first or one timeout, first and 10. Packers number one offense, love to read on a slant for about 15. Clock continues to tick. Love incomplete to the right on the next play. Couldn't see who it was targeted to because of about 90 rude Baltimore Ravens trying to block me from seeing what was going on. How dare they? Love to Dobbs deep down the left sideline into the red zone. Great route. Fantastic play. Beautiful throw. It looked like he got down maybe to the 10, 12 yard line. Maybe it was even closer than that, but deep down the field, huge play, probably 40, 50 yards on the play. Then Love complete short, but it was a loss of about 4 yards. They had to use their timeout. Love throws to Wicks in the back corner of the end zone, but it was overthrown and incomplete. Huge third down after that, but it was Love incomplete to the back corner of the end zone again. Once again, unfortunately, I could not tell the wide receiver, but they had to settle for a field goal. Great start to the period with that deep ball to Romeo Dobbs, but then it ended up with a loss of four on a short completion, an incomplete pass, and a field goal attempt, which Carlson took and made to tie the game. Then you came up with the Ravens' number one offense, same situation. Kenny Clark started the drive with a sack on Lamar Jackson. They had to immediately use their timeout. Lamar fires a completion to Likely. Bullard closed quick, but Likely made the catch anyway. Clock continues to tick. Lamar complete down the sidelines, out of bounds. But fourth down, Lamar finds a check down to Justice Hill for a first down. Comes back to Justice Hill on another check down. Clock continues to tick. Lamar to Rashad Bateman on a crosser, but a ton of time coming off the clock. Continues to tick. First down, they spike the ball, but they're down to 10 seconds left. No timeouts. They try to get one more play down the field, but there was great coverage, great pressure, and Lamar just had to throw it away. 3 seconds left. Ends up, I think, being a 62-yard attempt for Justin Tucker. He does not make it. Packers number one defense wins that round. Packers number two offense, Michael Pratt at quarterback with the twos. Pratt to Dubose, short, clock continues to tick. Incomplete down the right sidelines. Couldn't tell if it was a throwaway or if he just threw it high, but certainly was not in any real chance of getting caught. Love to Toure over the middle, high and out of reach. Big fourth down coming up. Pratt incomplete, but there was, I believe it was holding on the defense, which resulted in a first down for Green Bay. Pratt low on a throw to Merriweather, which was probably best because it was just going to eat up clock and it wasn't going to go anywhere. Then Pratt fires to Dubose along the sidelines for a gain of about 9, plus he got out of bounds. Pratt to Merriweather complete along the sidelines as well. First down, also out of bounds. 30 seconds left, one timeout, first and 10. Pratt incomplete along the right sidelines. Then Pratt to Sims, complete over the middle, short gain of about five, timeout. Third and five, 21 seconds left, no timeouts remaining. Pratt to Toure on a slant for a first down. Spike on the next play. Clock is stopped with 7 seconds left. Greg Joseph comes in, makes the field goal, ties the game. Green Bay once again ties it up with the twos. Ravens number twos. Josh Johnson hits a receiver on a crosser for about 5 yards, gets out of bounds. Aaron Mosby comes back with a sack, but there was unfortunately a penalty on Green Bay, which resulted in an automatic first down for Baltimore. You had a short completion followed by a throw over the middle that Evan Williams read perfectly, huge interception, and it ends up in ending that period with a Packers win due to Evan Williams' interception. Then you had the Packers number three offense. You had Clifford complete to Messiah Swinson for about 7 yards and out of bounds. Clifford checked down to Merriweather, first down and out of bounds. Clifford drops in a absolute dime in the deep corner to Henry Pearson. Gorgeous throw. Absolutely love to see it. And that also got out of bounds. Then a Clifford throwaway, but it looks like they actually called it a sack. I shouldn't say looked like it. I was there. They ended up calling it a sack and it backed him up and, basically, you know, clock had to run and everything like that. Then he hits a crosser to Stanley for a few yards. And then after that, Carlson came on to kick the field goal, also made it was like a 52 yarder. And that tied the game in that series as well. The Ravens number threes, I didn't get to see a ton of, but I do know that it ended on a turnover on down. So really 6 for 6 for Green Bay. Their three offensive drives all went down and had tying field goals. The Ravens did not get points on any of their three drives, and the big highlight was, of course, Evan Williams' interception. Jordan Love, a little bit of an up-and-down day, not perfect, but he completed, this is per Ryan Wood, by the way, completed 18 of 30 passes for 216 yards, 4 red zone touchdowns, 1 interception, probably should have had 2 interceptions, could have obviously had a couple other big plays if Romeo Doubs hangs on to one, so, you know, balance that out a little bit, but still 18 of 30 for 216, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, not certainly the worst day in the world by any stretch of the imagination. Want to give a huge shout out to the Packers first team offensive line, but really their offensive line in general from a pass blocking standpoint. Run blocking, a little bit more to be desired, but from a pass protection standpoint, Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom were just shut down. Like there wasn't anyone getting close to Jordan Love, and it wasn't just because he was wearing a red jersey. It was because they were providing a ton of protection and a beautiful clean pocket for him pretty much all day long. Tucker Kraft, we kind of mentioned it, a ton of plays over the course of the day. He looks great. He's getting separation. He's running after the catch. This is, I think, the best that I've seen Tucker Kraft. I'm expecting huge things. I'm not going to say huge, I should say, because I think there's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense, but he is massively talented and he's going to have a big time role in this offense. And then backup QBs, good day. I thought Michael Pratt led the 2-minute drill for a field goal. The big play to Dubose, no turnovers, was really clean throughout the day, efficient, just sort of your normal day. And then had those, three touchdowns in the red zone period. So beautiful day for Michael Pratt and Sean Clifford, arguably his best day of the entire offseason. The two big plays to Malik Heath were key. And then of course had that beautiful throw to Henry Pearson and worked his team into the 2-minute drill for a field goal as well. So really nice day for the two backup quarterbacks. As far as the kicking went, Anders Carlson went 5 for 5 on the day. Greg Joseph went 3 for 4 on the day. Your camp totals now, Anders Carlson, 59 of 72, 81.9%, getting closer to 82. Greg Joseph, 57 of 73, 78.1%. Alex Hale did not kick on the day, but he is 14 of 21, 66.7%. Some other miscellaneous news and notes. Matt LaFleur was extremely complimentary of Rashid Walker's attention to detail in his press conference prior to practice. Colby Wooden had 2 really nice wins in one-on-one drills against the Ravens offensive line. Both Zane Anderson and Bo Melton, I don't know if Bo Melton's a fringe guy or not, but 2 kind of fringe guys were on the first team kickoff unit and on the first team kick return unit included Christian Welch, fringe guy, Zane Anderson, fringe guy, Robert Rochelle, fringe guy, Ben Sims, probably safe, but kind of fringe guy, Corey Ballantyne, kind of fringe guy, and then Grant Dubose as well. So a lot of those fringe guys, and I think the big one here, Zane Anderson, both on first team kickoff and on first team kick return. That's not insignificant, and that could easily play a factor when trying to make those 53-man roster decisions. And last but not least, not Packers related. Eagles made a trade for Jahan Dotson from the Washington Commanders, a rare in-division trade, and that certainly will make things not easier when they go against the Eagles in week one. A really nice trio of wide receivers now with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Jahan Dotson, not to mention Saquon Barkley at running back, and of course Dallas Goedert at tight end with Jalen Hurts at QB. That is a pretty impressive weapon group for the Philadelphia Eagles. That is going to do it for me today. Obviously, lots to cover at Packers-Ravens joint practice. The last training camp practice open to the public of the year. Always bittersweet. Right around the corner is the final preseason game and, of course, regular season week one, which makes that bitter pill a little bit more easy to swallow. It's been a really fun training camp. I think overall a successful camp for Green Bay, and I'm ready for preseason week three and regular season week one. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Chabra Dad, Brendan Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Itaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, and Love and Football. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.